Good to have your company. 9 past 5, just gone 9 past 5 in Sydney. 1318 73 is the number. As you know, I've spoken on and off for a while now, many people have, about the ABC and the SBS. And I've just been making the point, political bias, perception or otherwise aside, and all that, the cost of it aside, there isn't really a raison d'etre anymore for state broadcasting. I mean, we have satellites. We have broadband internet. We have the ability of extensive bandwidth, the streaming ability, that almost anybody can be a so-called journalist, and with smartphones, although not everybody that owns a smartphone necessarily is smart themselves, the phone and the technology, and it's clever enough to basically make everybody a roving cameraman of sorts, is the time, I think, the time for state-based broadcasting is up, and that money could be saved. I was interested to read, with all of that in mind, a piece yesterday by the very intelligent Oliver Mark Hartwich. I've spoken to Mark Oliver before. He's based in New Zealand. And he said, look, once upon a time, the justifications for getting the state involved in TV broadcasting were simple. He writes, for example, few frequencies were available, so there were concerns about a pluralist media landscape. But, he says, such arguments may have been valid in the days of Stone Age television. However, the arrival of new technologies, as I sort of just mentioned, should have made those arguments obsolete by now. And he puts this question to us. So, in a world of hundreds of TV channels, internet streaming services, encrypted broadcasting and more, why do we still have giant public broadcasters? Well, it's a question I scratch my head about. Dr. Oliver Hartwich, the Executive Director of the New Zealand Initiative, is on the phone. Dr. Hartwich, good to chat again. Thank you for your time.
Yeah, good morning.
Why do we have these behemoths?
Well, they are pretty much a relic from the past. There were justifications in the Stone Age days of television and radio for having public broadcasters, state-owned broadcasters. And typically what economists do then is they argue with the so-called public goods argument. So the argument is, but if you're just adding extra viewers to your audience, it doesn't cost you anything extra as a broadcaster. And you can't exclude anyone, because once the radio waves are out there, anyone can receive them. And these were the arguments put forward in the 1940s and 50s, and they were a pretty good justification for having state broadcasters at the time. But as you mentioned, technologies have completely changed. Nowadays, it is super easy to just add another radio station, another TV station through YouTube. And you can also exclude people, of course, from watching your stuff. There are paywalls. You can think of Foxtel and Sky or Netflix, where people have to pay for what they're watching. And therefore, because of the changing technology landscape, it probably means that there is no longer this rationale for having state broadcasters.
Now, a lot of what you write about is actually based off the situation in Germany. And believe it or not, the Germans are pretty efficient in a lot of things. But when it comes to state broadcasting, they're very lazy in that a lot of money goes in and not much comes out. And a very famous German economist, Justus Haukup, has, with a team, looked at the German situation. But look, we can extrapolate this into our situation and others, and said, you know, the cost-benefit analysis just doesn't stack up anymore, does it?
Yes, the whole motivation for writing this piece was actually this article published recently by Justus Haukup. I've known Justus for a long time. He's one of Germany's really brightest economists. And what Justus argues is exactly that. He says, well, once upon a time, there was this justification. Times have changed. We should really get a better broadcasting system in place. And what Justus argues is that, especially in Germany, it has become totally expensive, ridiculously expensive. So just to put it into context, in Australia, the costs for running ABC and SBS are probably just about $1.5 billion. Germany, conversely, spends more than $12 billion on having its public broadcasting system. And that includes, for example, running 63 different radio channels. It is a totally ridiculous system in Germany, and Justus argues, I think quite convincingly, that there are better models out there that Germany could follow that would still deliver some public interest content on radio and TV, but it wouldn't require having these giant state broadcasters.
Yeah, we'll look at one of those particular models, in fact, the New Zealand model, in just a second. But, of course, when you have a lot of money, and even $1.5 billion for the ABC and SBS is a lot of money every year, there is inevitably waste because there's fat. You take the German example, the 2012 Olympics in London. Germany sent 392 athletes to compete, but the state broadcaster sent 480 staff.
And that is just one of the ridiculous outcomes of that system. It is possible, of course, when you have an extremely extremely well-funded system, taxpayer-funded, where you're basically swimming in money and then you can do whatever you like. Or take another example. In Germany, there is a political talk show every week called Tough But Fair. It costs 210,000 euros to produce a single episode for basically a program where you just put four or five people in a studio and let them discuss things.
Sounds like that Q&A here in Australia.
It's very much like Q&A, and it's ridiculously expensive. It doesn't make sense. Or when the head of one of the big TV stations in Germany celebrates his farewell, it was actually his TV station paying for the farewell party at a cost of 28,000 euros.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I'm sure there would be many parallels here, but I mean, the broader point that people make, the sort of the friends of the ABC, the Save the Public Broadcasting people and all of that, and look, a lot of them mean well, but they say, look, yeah, commercial just full of junk, it's populist, a lot of it's American junk, it's rubbish. Yeah, at least good old ABC and SBS hold up the quality flag. Now, you make the point that that necessarily may not be the case if public broadcasting vanished, so too would quality broadcasting vanish.
Hmm. Well, for a start, I think we're just having a quality conversation on radio and it's not on the ABC.
I agree. Oh. Yes, thank you. Yes.
The other thing is, of course, even if you believe that there are some programs which commercial broadcasters would never produce because they wouldn't really find the mass audience but just the niche audience, you could still have a different system of funding that. And so what Justus Haukapp and his team suggested, to actually privatize the public broadcasters, take the revenue from the privatizations, put it into a foundation, and use that foundation then to specifically fund public interest programs. And that's exactly the New Zealand model.
Yeah, tell me about this New Zealand model, because they're our near neighbours, of course, here, and they seem to be able to create or have public funding of pretty quality stuff that reaches a much larger audience for every dollar spent than what the ABC and SBS can achieve here. What do New Zealand do?
Well, New Zealand had a radical reform of its public broadcasting system about 15, 20 years ago. And as the outcome of that, the previous state broadcasters basically disappeared. It was then that redirect the funding into New Zealand On Air, NZ On Air. And this is an organization, a crown entity, that is actually financing these public interest programs. So anyone can apply for funding. And it could be a political program, it could be a documentary, it could be anything, really. And because these programs are put out there for tender, it means that you're trying to get better efficiencies, better production costs, lower production costs. And I think it puts a lot more commercial pressure on the producers of public interest programs than you currently have within the state broadcasting sector.
So instead of relying on an ABC or an SBS with all the staff and, you know, all the hanging on stuff, what you have is a government-appointed body that has a budget, but the private sector, be it the Channel 9s or the Channel 7s or radio stations like this or whatever, internet sources, bid for some of that capital when they pitch ideas which are in the national interest or quality programming.
And that's exactly right. So what Justus Haukapp and his team have calculated are the audiences that you get for a given amount of funding. And what he found was for $1 million Australian, you generate an audience of well over 100,000 people in New Zealand on a yearly basis, whereas the state broadcasting systems in Australia and in Germany would typically generate an audience of just about 3,000-4,000 people for the same amount of funding. Mm. So you can have the same amount of funding reaching far larger audiences, which just means that a private broadcasting system would be simply more efficient.
And that's what we need. Dr. Oliver Hartwich, great to chat. I thank you for your time once again.
Thank you.
Dr. Oliver Hartwich, the Executive Director of the New Zealand Initiative. Well, there's one way of reining in the ABC and SBS and doing it in a way which still ensures, as the New Zealand model shows, we have quality programs. Why don't the government do it?